Je suis féministe. Je voudrais vous demander si, dans votre, pas dans votre activité militante, parce que vous rencontrez des femmes qui, je pense, se disent féministes, mais dans votre vie quotidienne, dans les gens que vous rencontrez tous les jours, est-ce que vous pouvez dire « je suis féministe » être reconnue comme telle, ou est-ce que vous êtes obligée, à cause entre autres des éléments que Charlotte a mentionnés, est-ce que vous êtes obligée de faire un détour par là et de prôner votre féminisme sans le mentionner comme telle?
Definitely working on women's issues specific to our own country. So to that extent, we are openly feminist. That question, I mean, I can answer part of it, that most of us belong to women's groups and we are working on women's issues in our own countries. So to that extent, we are openly feminists, whatever the term means in the respective countries we come from. I mean, is that what she meant? Maybe somebody else would like to add to that.
When you're talking about feminists, it's just, I don't think it's a good idea and a positive way of putting the question, is to try to separate women and saying, these are feminists, these are non-feminists. I think the best way of putting it is there are women in most countries of the world, be it third world, second world, or first world, that has taken, taken conscience of the problems and are in the vanguard of this struggle, which is not only for women, but for humanity. So we are in the vanguard, and feminists can be applied to all women in the world. So I don't think it's good and positive way of putting the problem. Feminist and women. All women must be feminists. But some are more aware of the problem and is struggle in the struggle now. And all the women will join in the struggle, and all the people will join in the struggle until the final victory.
From another developing country, Philippines. As I said this morning, this is my first time in Europe, and this is my first time to meet the women of the feminist movement. My world has always been limited to Asia, where I visit other Asian countries. And I meet with women's groups in all these Asian countries. And in the Philippines, I do a lot of traveling and I meet women's groups. But the word feminism is not in our part of vocabulary in this part of the third world. When we speak of the women's groups struggling against poverty and militarization, and the intervention of the United States, the men and the women who are struggling together, and especially the women who are fighting the problems of poverty with their children, especially
the children who are dying of diarrhea. We call it nationalism from our part of the world. Nationalism, which means enjoying our resources which belong to us and which should not be given to a giant country like the United States, which is very rich by itself. We don't speak of feminism, we speak of nationalism. And when we speak of nationalism, we say it with a very great risk. I can say it now because I'm in Switzerland, which I heard is very liberal. But to say it in my country, nationalism, publicly, like this, in a center like this where you don't know the environment, when I leave the room, I could be taken, I could be imprisoned, I could be shot. That is the great risk we take when we mention that word, nationalism. And therefore, I understand, I'm listening now to Charlotte, and I'm listening to most of the groups I've met. I understand the meaning of feminism. But we can't say it in our world. Not because we want to, not to accept that term, but because in our reality of poverty and militarization, where the men and the women must fight together for control of our resources, there's only one definition it can give. It's nationalism. It's not being selfish. It's our experience, and you've got to listen to us. You've got to understand our part of the world, just as we try to understand the meaning of feminism from your own perspective. So we don't say feminism really, no? In the Philippines and in that part of Asia. This is all what I can say to that question.
Country, Philippines, and also I would say that I would affirm that feminism is not in our vocabularies. When we speak about feminism, it is discussed in schools because we have read that one in books and this because we have read that one in pamphlets and many reading materials. But we cannot. I did not experience and I did not feel the atmosphere of feminism, but women working in the struggle, fighting for the poverty and the problems in our society. I have many experiences working with women, with us in our search for a better society. So feminism for us is a sort of intellectual or academic, or it is written in the book. But when I came to the first world, I understand this kind of movement. So that's what I'm saying.
What did you feel here when you met a woman who, you know, for us, feminism is not an abstract or an intellectual notion. What did you think about it?
So, my knowledge, So my understanding about the problem in the world and the global problem come also wider and wider. Because I understand there is also a fight from the women in the first world. There are also another way in fighting the problem. There is a problem also in the first world. So it just helped me to understand the wider aspects or the global perspective. And also, this I understand that in each country that we came from, we have different way in fighting the problem or in struggling the problem, but still we are looking at one same problem, the women's exploitation. Yeah. Because I also understand that women are less paid and all this, no rights, no? Less rights in our decision making.
I don't like the term third world, second world, first world. I like to that we can find another terminology.
De parler Pied-Monde parce que je suis de appeler Pied-Monde et maintenant je suis ici avec vous et je suis absolument étonnée, je sais pas que parler parce que je vois que toutes les formes de tiers, de seconde, de premier ou de soit quel monde soit sont tellement pareilles parce qu'elles ont des problèmes qui sont fondamental et moi je sais pas qu'est-ce que je peux dire mais ça c'est l'émotion en tout cas mais au Brésil parfois j'ai peur de dire que je suis féministe parce que moi je sais pas qu'est-ce que c'est d'être féministe mon problème c'est de savoir qu'est-ce que c'est une femme? Parce que c'est tout mélangé. La femme a toujours l'image qui se fait de la femme. C'est pas l'image de la femme quand même, de ses sentiments, de sa manière de voir le monde, de sa manière de voir les choses et de sa manière de faire la politique aussi. Parce qu'au Brésil, il y a aussi l'oppression. Au Brésil, il y a aussi des problèmes économiques très sérieux. Et alors, on est toujours en lutte contre ces problèmes-là, mais on est toujours des femmes. Et la question pour moi, c'est comment est-ce que moi, qui suis une femme, quels sont mes rapports avec ces luttes-là, et de rester en paix, un peu vif, de ne rester pas paralysée par des questions qui se pose et que j'ai peur de voir et de lutter. C'est un peu comme ça.
Hein. I mean, I don't think this is particularly relevant in this group because there isn't anyone here from China. But I don't think this sort of discussion can overlook what China has done as regards women and how it has integrated women into their struggle for improving the condition of everybody. You all know Chairman Mao's dictum that... I better just explain that I come from Hong Kong, but I've been to China and on a feminist visit. And it was just breathtaking to see what had happened to China and to the women in China in the course of 30 years. And you all know Chairman Mao's dictum of women hold up half the sky. And while nobody, and least of all the Chinese, would pretend that there is equality among women, men and women in China, but they have a very concrete realization of the both the necessity of integrating women into everything to succeed in the socialist struggle, and also that socialism will not succeed unless women are integrated. So I think that I know Asia well, and I know the poverty, and I know exactly that feminism often is a luxury in some of the countries, in a sense, if that's the way you want to look at it. But I think one must look at the other side as well, and that there is a country which has a billion people and which has integrated women into its development from a very feudal and extremely poor country into a country where nobody dies of hunger anymore.
Take off from where you said the notion of feminism being a luxury for third world women from developing countries. I think it is a false notion, and it has been used in order to prevent women from developing countries from becoming feminists. And today I think more and more women, as far as I know, okay, middle class women, but still women in India, for instance, I come from India, so I can say, are conscious of the importance of the feminist struggle and are beginning to fight it in issues which are relevant to their own needs. For instance, the need to fight for self-determination or to control their own lives, the fight against the dowry system and the terrible oppression that exists there. And I think we should not ignore this fact, and it's very vital, because unless women in developing countries fight and recognize the importance of a feminist struggle along with the struggle for improving their economic status or against the economic oppression, I mean, it has to be a parallel thing. There can be no success. And this women are realizing. In fact, you find that most of the feminists in India come from the left movement, most of them, and they have realized that it is not enough to fight for workers' revolution, but there is something much more. And the answer is they are seeing it more and more in feminism. It's still a very, very small tendency, but it's growing.
Said, because I think it does go to the core of the struggle about what is feminism. And I will, not so much in response to you, although by using the word luxury, I think you touch something that Valsa and I both feel very strongly about. So I think it's maybe a useful discussion. The illustration I want to give is to go back to the Copenhagen conference, and Jane mentioned this morning, where there was a quote at the NGO forum which said, to talk feminism to a woman who has no home, no food, no water is nonsense. And the implication, again, was, I think, the same one I feel about the use of the word luxury, was that feminism is about sort of superficial issues. And I think that my own feeling is that is not the case on two points. One point is that millions of women die every year, maybe not millions, thousands die every year from lack of abortions, from false contraceptions, from being forced into prostitution, from being, what's the word in India, where you're burned, the suicides, where wives are burned because the dowry is not adequate, because they're lesbians in some cultures where lesbians are persecuted and die, because they're in work conditions where the employment is so bad that they die from the hazards or lose their eyesight. So I think that it's, and this is in the Western world as well as in the developing countries, that women die every year from the issues that feminism is raising. And I think it's very important for us as feminists not to accept the idea that feminism is just sort of a luxury item. It is about the death of women at a very basic level from many, many different kinds of problems that have to do with the oppression of women. And the forms of that death may vary in some cases, although in the case of abortion and contraception problems, the form is quite similar, in fact, from country to country. It's amazingly similar. I think some of the other forms are more diverse. So in that sense, I think it's important to talk about the basicness of feminism as a struggle for the survival of women. Even you mentioned, and I think it's an important question, the problem of female infanticide in China. I mean, this very survival of women in China is a very basic question when the one-child family is promoting 5-2 boy children. I mean, that there is no more basic survival of women than the point of female infanticide. So I know you know that, and I think it's important to keep that in mind. The other half of that for me is that feminism is not only about survival in these issues, but it is also, in my opinion, about the survival of the planet. Because I don't really see very much hope that this world will survive unless somebody, and I think feminists are one of the major, not necessarily the only group, but one of the major groups that has to take some responsibility to turn around the kind of destruction that is going on in the world today, from the pollution issues to the free trade zone to nuclear power. And I don't have much hope that will occur without feminists being one of the basic forces making that happen. So I don't see it as superficial issues. I see really feminism going to the core of the survival of women as oppressed people and of the planet. And I just want to add to Valsa's statement that to me seems to me a way that feminism transcends the superficial image that the media has tried to give it, that all of us have to fight against, that it's just for a few well-educated women that we're struggling.
And the practical point of view, if you're speaking of working people, if you have half of the men population fighting for better conditions and half of the working population fighting for better conditions and half of the working population who is woman just sitting at home and waiting for the condition to change, even the men in this struggle, they are weak compared to the dominating classes. Even in practical terms, feminism, the women's struggle, help in the whole working class struggle for better conditions.
Oui, je voulais juste en fait accentuer le point que Charlotte a mentionné. C'est pas seulement les médias qui donnent une image comme ça du féminisme, comme de la crème fouettée qu'on met comme ça sur les meringues, enfin sur le gâteau, pour un meilleur dessert. C'est aussi les gouvernements. Par exemple, dans les pays industrialisés, dans beaucoup de pays, il y a des bureaux de la condition féminine, il y a des bureaux des questions féminines. C'est comme s'il existait un petit secteur comme ça, qu'on peut comme ça, de temps en temps regarder, puisque les femmes sont en train de crier et de gueuler pour avoir quelque chose. Alors, on estime qu'il y a quelques problèmes féminins comme ça, donc on peut leur donner quelque chose. Et puis nous, je crois que souvent, on a tendance un peu à rentrer dans ce jeu et dire il y a des problèmes féminins, des female feminine issues, des questions féminines, alors qu'il n'y a pas des questions féminines. Il y a des problèmes d'êtres humains qui sont femmes parce que les femmes sont dans une structure patriarcale. Donc il n'y a pas juste un problème féminin ici comme ça de côté, plus une autre structure d'un autre côté, et puis que ça n'a pas de lien. En fait, les femmes ont des problèmes parce qu'elles sont dans une structure patriarcale. Donc si elles sont dans une structure patriarcale, c'est évident que ça traverse absolument toute la vie. Donc c'est le féminisme global, qu'on l'appelle féminisme ou pas. Parce que, et je crois que ça c'est un peu le... Bon, je n'ai pas de leçon à donner au pays, mais enfin, c'est les leçons que l'histoire nous apporte. On a bien vu, par exemple, en Algérie, c'est le fameux exemple, les femmes ont fait une lutte nationale, elles ont participé à cette lutte nationale, elles ont été instrumentales dans la lutte nationale, puis une fois qu'elles ont gagné, salut, au revoir, on ne vous veut plus, restez dans vos maisons, rien n'a changé pour elle, en fait, fondamentalement. Alors, c'est une chose qui est très importante d'avoir à l'esprit tout le temps. C'est vraiment ces leçons d'histoire. Parce que c'est vraiment trop déprimant de toujours recommencer les mêmes choses et de ne pas avancer.
Parce que justement, ça continue, ça. Il y a un certain, par exemple, les luttes de libération nationale, c'est quand même des alliances avec des organisations de libération nationale, et puis une autonomie des femmes plus ou moins forte à l'intérieur d'une organisation unitaire où les deux sexes sont mélangés. Puis ça, c'est le problème des alliances à faire et des temps et lieux et conditions de ces alliances. Ça, c'est un problème que je trouve très difficile. Donc si on prend maintenant le Salvador ou bien le Nicaragua, c'est des exemples tout récents qui sont encore là.
Par exemple, on peut parler d'alliance quand il y a un groupe d'un mouvement féministe qui fait alliance avec un groupe d'hommes, par exemple, pour travailler sur les problèmes de la prison. À Saint-Marc, on fait une alliance entre des groupes égalitaires, si tu veux. Tandis que dans les luttes de libération, les femmes ont participé en partant d'une position où elles n'étaient pas égalitaires. Et après la fin de la lutte de la libération, elles ont été renvoyées chez elles. Elles n'avaient en fait aucun pouvoir, parce que les décisions, les têtes, c'était quand même des hommes. Ce qui fait que pour moi, ce n'était pas vraiment une alliance. Elles se sont senties partie prenante de la lutte, évidemment, puisque c'était leur terre, leur espace, leur vie. Mais ce n'était pas vraiment une alliance.
Pour moi, une alliance, c'est entre deux groupes qui ont pouvoir égal, ou pouvoir, si pas égal, mais qui peut en tout cas se comparer, tandis que les femmes dans les luttes de libération, après, se sont vraiment fait... Elles n'ont aucun pouvoir. Le fait d'avoir lutté ne leur a donné aucun pouvoir.
This was a simple question asked by somebody here. The question she asked was, it was a very simple question to which we answered in very simple answers. She asked, if I remember, I hope she checks me, what is feminism to you in your own world? You know? So I answered simply, we don't use the word feminism in the Philippines. Now, I'm surprised with the reaction that sprung up from that remark. Something like, well, feminism is a growing spark, etc. Feminism is not a luxury. I didn't mean to, you know, to downgrade feminism. I never had that intention. Or, you know, national liberation had never helped women. You know, I'm quite angry with this, personally, because it seems to be a condescending attitude to what I had said as a woman from the third world, you know. Like somebody says, you know, but national liberations will not help women. How can you guarantee that? We're still in the process of liberation in our country. You mean you cannot judge, and you know, you cannot judge us at the moment. And this is what makes me angry. This is not a kind of meeting that I would like, that we debate and argue and you find out which word to use. You know, it's as the lady from Brazil said, we're arguing on the same thing. But what are we going to do, you know? I understand the meaning of feminism, but you cannot use that word, for God's sake, in the Philippines. We are into peasant organizing. I tell that to a woman. If I say to her, I'm a feminist, she'll look at me. And I can't win her anymore, you know? But if we say, let's find out what's the problem of our country, you know, then she'll speak up. What's the problem of woman? And she'll say, it's the problem of artificial powder being given to my child by the hospital. It's the problem of pesticide and fertilizers of my husband, and I can't feed my children. That's a woman's problem. And I come here to ISIS with all that very, very great, you know, expectation that we're here to discuss women's problems as affected by transnationals, and we're here to discuss networking. I would have wanted to be absent tonight, but I felt that there were many women from Switzerland around, and I wanted to hear their problems. I didn't want to argue here. I didn't want to talk about what is the process now of national liberation is not going to help the women at the end, you know. I can't even talk about it. We're still in the process of doing that. So I come here for networking. How do we go about networking? It's not just a mere exchange of letters. How do you do? How are you? How is your government? But how in concrete must we have follow-up between Mauritius workers and the Philippine workers? How do we do that? How do we program it? How do we raise funds for that? This is the one thing I'd like to be discussed very concretely in this meeting. And in this tonight, I'd like to listen to the women of Switzerland. You know, what are their problems of Geneva? The battered women, why? Why are they battered, you know?
Chose. Je voudrais dire que j'avais posé la question. Je vais parler anglais parce que je voudrais bien qu'elle comprenne ce que je dis moi. Non pas que je mets en doute la traduction, je n'entends pas, je suis sûre que vous traduisez très bien.
I just wanted to tell you that I raised this question to see, because of all the other women I met before, I raised this question to see if we could have a banner as women. It was only for this, you see, if we could have a banner as women, and if it was acceptable that the banner was feminism. It was in no way to put into question. It was to see if we could have
a banner, the name of which was feminism. I wasn't imposing it or criticizing it in any way. It was a strategy, actually, a strategy matter, which concerns as much your country as ours, Switzerland or whatever.
Qui s'appelle Solidarité sans modèle.
J'ai compris.
Il y a 2 ans à peu près qu'il existe un petit groupe de femmes ici à Genève. Et ce qui nous intéresse, c'est justement de faire des connexions entre nous, quoi, des Suisses, des féministes, et puis des femmes féministes dans le tiers-monde. Alors, c'est parti d'une copine à nous qui est allée au Nicaragua, et alors à la suite, avec elle, on a préparé.